This is Agriculture Today.
There was quite a few corn producers from across the nation that made a short trip down to the Dallas area today for a fairly large announcement.
Phil Fuhrer is a corn grower from Illinois, recently in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex.
We used to watch the prices of grains and oil seeds go down, and we saw the price of fertilizer go down accordingly. In the last 5 years, it's worked just the opposite. Grain prices have gotten lower, and fertilizer prices have continued to get higher and higher.
He was there as the Federal Trade Commission opened a broad investigation into fertilizer pricing and market concentration following years of producer complaints about the rising input cost. Chairman of the FTC, Andrew Ferguson, announced the investigation during the farmer gathering, said fertilizer has been one of the largest sources of rising farm input costs since 2020. Farm groups, including Texas corn producers, blamed concentrated market power for higher prices, urged the agency to follow the evidence. Now, the announcement comes as fertilizer prices remain sharply higher while farm income has fallen. Producers also pointed to rising Chapter 12 bankruptcy filings in several farm states. USDA launching a new Great American Cotton Plan to improve cotton demand, rebuild textile manufacturing, and address years of financial pressure on growers. Department says cotton producers face a fifth straight year of negative returns, projected losses $2.6 billion across 9 million planted acres. USDA also says the number of U.S. cotton gins has fallen from 2,254 in 1980 to 446 today. Plan includes four main areas: promoting domestic cotton use, increasing domestic demand and production, improving trade, and protecting growers from risk. Cattle and hog byproduct values climbing sharply, adding support to livestock markets beyond the value of meat cuts. Dr. David Anderson at Texas A&M says cattle byproduct values at their highest level since January of 2023. For hog byproducts, highest since January of 2024. Now, the reduced slaughter, part of the reason. Fewer cattle moving through packing plants means fewer hides, organs, and other byproducts. And elk exports helping, with first quarter cattle variety meat export volume up 14%. Hog byproduct values up 16% from a year ago. Lard, choice white grease, snouts, and other items gaining value. And a proposed USDA poultry payment rule could change contract broiler pay, but Alabama Extension professor Dennis Brothers says financial impact would not be the same for every grower. Now, the rule would amend the Packers and Stockyards Act, requiring poultry companies to change how contract growers are paid. Integrators could no longer use negative performance-based adjustments that reduce grower pay. And U.S. farmers may need to prepare for a future in which global demand doesn't continue to expand simply because population grows. Drain's Matt Clark and Don Close say global population growth could peak around the mid-2060s, would change long-held assumptions behind export-driven ag. It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Today, USDA is announcing our new Great American Cotton Plan, consisting of four pillars.
In Arizona, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins outlining the Great American Cotton Plan.
First, promoting domestic cotton consumption. In partnership with other federal agencies, we are starting a plant, not plastic initiative that will educate consumers and potential customers on the benefit of natural fibers. Our MAHA strategy report last year unveiled and included an evaluation by HHS and EPA, our dear friends Bobby Kennedy and Lee Zeldin, on the risks associated with microplastics and synthetics in our clothing, of which are mostly and often in foreign competitors to American cotton. As again, Bobby and Lee Zeldin and I work together to better understand those risks, working for the first time to really dig in on this, we are being forward-leaning and promoting the American cotton industry as the alternative. USDA is also ensuring our bio-preferred program remains funded after a funding lapse under the last administration, so that products made from cotton can continue to use the bio-preferred label, helping to create further market demand. We are also ensuring that cotton's increased marketing loan rates for upland cotton are fully implemented this summer per the Working Family Tax Cuts Act that, again, the Hill was so instrumental and Congressman Ciscomani at the front. Number two, we are providing affordable cotton by increasing domestic demand and production. Through the Working Families Tax Cuts, we reauthorized the Pima Agricultural Cotton Trust Fund through 2031 and are providing domestic manufacturers and associations with $16 million in annual support. Also increasing the payment rate in the Economic Adjustment Assistance for Textile Mills, the EAATM program, helping American cotton mills upgrade their facilities so, again, we can be more competitive on the world stage. Number three, we are improving the cotton trade worldwide. We are finally opening up new global markets for American cotton and revitalizing export finance opportunities. One tangible example is our work with the U.S. Trade Rep, our good friend Jamison Greer and his team, where Indonesia has agreed to import at least 163,000 metric tons of U.S. cotton annually for the next 5 years and then maintain a minimum level of at least 150,000 metric tons. This is Indonesia alone. And through the Cotton USA Licensing Program, our Marketing Assistance Program, or Access Program, MAP, is leveraging over $13 million in additional funding in this year alone to drive global demand and reassert America's global cotton dominance. We're also supporting legislative efforts to boost cotton. We love the Buy America Cotton Act that Senator Hyde Smith and so many others have been advocating for, including the congressman, to ensure that we're doing everything we can in Congress to codify these ideas so that when the Trump administration leaves in about 2.5 years, hopefully this great work will continue. And number four, finally, we are protecting cotton growers from adverse risks. There are so many variables to consider on the farm, and serious yield losses due to foreign pests should not be one of them. With the new cotton jacet pest spreading through the U.S., our Ag Research Service has already begun research efforts to control it. And when it comes to the farm safety net, starting this Monday in 3 or 4 days, eligible farmers can add up to 30 million new base acres in the ARC, the ARC program, and the PLC, the Price Loss Coverage Program, for the first time in decades. Taken together, the actions under these four pillars will make our cotton supply stronger, more affordable, and more secure.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins, it's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Under the leadership of President Trump, the FTC will be working day in and day out to support our farmers and to preserve their independence, their livelihood, and their way of life.
Chairman of the Federal Trade Commission, Andrew Ferguson.
Indeed, the FTC and our partners, the Department of Agriculture, will be examining competition issues in other agriculture markets to make sure that America's farmers and the consumers that they feed reap the benefits of competition. Lower prices, more innovation, and more choice. You can expect joint actions from the department and from the FTC very soon.
He met with farmers in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex to talk fertilizer.
I launched the fertilizer investigation because I heard from America's farmers that something was amiss. And I'm here today because I want to learn more. Effective law enforcement in the agriculture markets relies on the intelligence and leads that only you, America's farmers, can provide. Now, I know that speaking out about what you're seeing in the market can put you in a difficult position, especially when you don't have many options for where to source your inputs. And I've heard stories that some companies do not take kindly to you telling your elected officials and your law enforcers about the problems that you have encountered. That's why the FTC is unequivocally committed to making the process of engaging with us and talking to us as transparent and confidential as possible. To that end, just last week, we added a section to our public website that describes in detail the confidentiality protections that sources and witnesses can expect. I want to say this. The FTC, under my leadership, will protect the secrecy of your identity and any information you provide to the maximum extent possible. We want you talking to us. We can't help you if you don't, and we will protect you if you do.
Joshua Westling is founder and CEO of J. Westling and Company.
Most recently have actually built one of these fertilizer plants, which, you know, interestingly enough, very few have been built greenfield or from the ground up in the U.S. in the last 30 years, three to be exact. And I was one of those three. Now with the project that I'm working on, that'll be two of four. So team and I are experienced developers, built fertilizer plants, and have been working on the one that we're currently underway with since 2021 and here to help solve some problems.
With a little bit of history.
Yeah, I think most of the production in the U.S. was built in the 60s and 70s at the time, primarily along where natural gas, which is a primary feedstock in the production of fertilizer, was located. Before the advent of the pipeline system that we currently enjoy, a lot of natural gas, trapped natural gas, different places around the country. And so different ways to monetize that included fertilizer, which is pretty important for growing all the crops that we grow as a country. And so they built those plants over the top of that. And so that's where most of them are today. Not all of them, but most of them. And serve markets through massive transportation and distribution networks.
Talks about the economics.
Supply demand, right? We learned about it in some class or, you know, as we walk through life. And that's very much, where we find ourselves today. And we've been thinking about it and talking about it, obviously having built another one of these, for quite some time. Sad to see that some of what we've been talking about is actually playing out in the marketplace today with disruptions that happen all over the world for a variety of reasons that hold our farmers, our grain producers hostage through no making of their own. Fertilizer prices are stratospherically high. And again, that all goes back to supply and demand. We need more production in this country and in specific geographies where those facilities weren't built historically.
It's Agriculture Today.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
What if it is an agreement?
Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX is Arlen Suderman.
Now, to me, that's still an optimistic outlook. I remain a skeptic that Iran would give up its only real leverage that it has, and that's time. And it only has that leverage of time with its biggest tool right now being keeping the Strait of Hormuz closed, inflicting pain on the rest of the world. And in fact, the longer it keeps the strait closed, the more pain it can inflict. Even though its Navy and its Air Force are destroyed, it still has that capability to keep the strait closed if it wants to. So what if it did agree to it? Let's look at a best case scenario. Let's assume the deal is reached and signed this weekend, and what will it mean for commodity flows through the Strait of Hormuz? The answer is very little initially. Have a psychological impact on the markets initially, and particularly the speculative money in the markets, but the ship captains will be slow to have the confidence in safe passage through the strait amid reports of mines in the waters of the strait and fear of Iran breaking the treaty. That will slowly change if Iran restrains itself from attacking any ships and ships start moving without incident in the strait, loaded with product, and they begin to flow. But it will be a long time before we see that flow top the 100 tankers per day again. Ships already loaded can flow. Storage can be emptied, but then the wells need to be restarted, and that's going to take some time. And in some cases, infrastructure need to be rebuilt. Not only oil, but natural gas. We haven't talked much about that. Natural gas infrastructure also needs to be rebuilt that's been hit. In fact, Qatar's liquefied natural gas export terminal could take 3 to 5 years to reach full capacity again. Now, the crude oil deficit is currently near 14 million barrels per day. Roughly 7 or 8 million barrels per day can be replaced within weeks, although it takes a number of weeks for it then to reach its destinations, depending on what that destination is. Keep in mind, the war started on February 28th. The last of the ships reached their destinations in Asia carrying oil on about April 7th or so. So you're looking at about 5 weeks or so before those new supplies reach them again. So the deficits continue to build during that time. But the deficits will continue to build on global balance sheet until we get production back up to where world demand had been and needs to be in order to sustain economic activity. Keep in mind that the recent successful strikes on Russian refineries by Ukraine have also curtailed Russia's ability to export oil and product. The bottom line is that greater than 15% of the world's oil supplies offline and opening a strait today would still see a significant portion of that deficit in place for months to come. Well, the same is true for 20% of the world's liquefied natural gas export capacity. The latter is also a significant contributor to global fertilizer production in addition to providing energy to the world. And we got enough fertilizer basically for the 2026 world crops. Now, we did have reduced fertilizer application in some places like Eastern Europe, Ukraine, maybe Australia, but we don't have any evidence that it was reduced enough to have a significant negative impact on yield at this point. Don't let the prospect of short-term relief obscure the fact that global deficits will get worse before they get better, and that if the strait actually, and that's if the strait actually does open.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
I and my fellow antitrust enforcers in the Trump administration do not want to see our farmers held hostage by corporate monopolists.
At an event in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, the chairman of the Federal Trade Commission, Andrew Ferguson.
We won't stand idly by when farmers are victimized by unlawful competitive practices that undermine their livelihood and their independence. On this score, the FTC has taken a leading role. We have two major cases challenging anti-competitive practices that we believe have contributed to higher costs and a diminished livelihood for America's farmers. In one case, the FTC, along with several states, challenged the allegedly monopolistic practices of the John Deere Corporation. We believe that John Deere monopolized the market for the repair of farm equipment, which has unduly restricted your right to repair your own equipment or to seek an independent repair shop and has imposed higher repair costs on you. In other words, we believe that John Deere made our nation's farmers more dependent on them to make necessary repairs to their own machinery, compelling them to spend more of their labor on expanding the profits of John Deere and less on themselves and their families. Likewise, the FTC has sued Syngenta and Corteva, alleging that they have driven up the price of pesticides by paying distributors not to purchase products from competing pesticide makers. This form of monopolistic behavior hurts not only farming by driving up their prices, but all Americans who must pay for these increased prices at the grocery store. It enriches powerful chemical companies and the distributors to the financial detriment of farmers and their families. Rather than engage with farmers on equally and mutually beneficial terms, we believe these companies are trying to reduce farmers to servitude, using their market power to appropriate an ever-increasing amount of your gains.
Meeting with farmers across 18 states to talk fertilizer.
I'm announcing that on my order, the commission some time ago commenced a major industry-wide investigation into the precipitous rise of fertilizer prices in this country, which has affected so many of our nation's farmers, including everyone in this room, including the issuance of compulsory process. USDA data have shown that the single largest increase in input costs for farmers across the United States since 2020 has come from fertilizer. With one industry study reporting that farm bankruptcies climbed 46% last year compared to 2024, these continued price increases are not something our nation, much less our farmers, can continue to ignore. High prices, of course, do not always mean that something illegal is afoot, but when examining an industry that has rapidly consolidated, with just a few corporations now controlling a substantial majority of fertilizer sales in the United States, we cannot rule out the possibility that sustained price increases for fertilizer may be the result of anti-competitive conduct on the part of these very companies. As my friend and colleague, Deputy Secretary of Agriculture Stephen Vaden, told the Texas Farm Bureau just a few months ago, when you only have a few competitors in a market, that just by its natural status leads to situations where you cannot be sure that the price you are paying for a commodity is the actual market price because there are not enough people in there mixing it up to fight for your business. As an antitrust enforcer, my task will be to determine whether our laws have been broken, and if so, to bring the lawbreakers to justice and to stop their anti-competitive conduct in its tracks.
But admits it didn't happen overnight.
The consolidation that led us to today's conditions was not inevitable. As chairman, I take seriously my mandate to block anti-competitive mergers that threaten our most critical industries and to challenge the pernicious conduct that tends to proliferate when past enforcers refrained from blocking bad deals that enriched today's dominant players. Under my leadership, I assure you, the FTC is prioritizing protecting you and your livelihood. If we find that anyone has broken the antitrust laws and victimized our farmers through anti-competitive behavior, I will not hesitate to act.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
If you look at it at face value, if it is an agreement, it sounds like United States got everything and Iran got nothing. I'm skeptical that the Revolutionary Guard would agree to such an agreement.
Arlen Suderman is chief commodities economist with StoneX.
We did see the markets react as a result with equities rally, firming on this post, and crude oil falling further, and grain and oil seeds coming under pressure immediately when the post hit, with the algos initially trading it. So it did have an effect on the markets. But we've been down this road before, and it's one thing to talk about an agreement. It's another thing to sign an agreement. It's another thing to actually live by that agreement, for the Revolutionary Guard in particular. I can make an argument this looks like an agreement, but I can also make an argument that it doesn't look like an agreement. So the fog of war continues.
But what about the fundamentals of the markets? Exports.
Export sales for the week ending May the 20th. Net sales of 40 million bushels of corn. And that brings year-to-date sales for the year that ends on August 31 to 3.184 billion bushels. That's a record for this time of year. Of course, we're going for a record target. It's 198 million bushels above the seasonal pace needed to hit USDA's target. Doesn't mean we're going to fully hit it, but it does suggest we do have more upside to our export target, especially if China comes in by corn. I don't know if they will. I've been making the case that I think that they may, as part of the $17 billion agreement reached in Beijing in mid-May. That's something the market really doesn't have priced into it. We got to keep our eyes open. When you look at soybeans, 11 million bushels sold during the week ending on May 21st. That puts us year to date at about a 6-year low on sales. Actually, it's longer than that. It goes back to about 2012, 2013 marketing year, since we've had a year to date sales total that low at about 1.458 billion bushels. That's about 6 million bushels behind the seasonal pace needed at USDA's target. That's reasonably close. Now, it's a lower target this year, 1.53 billion bushels, down from 1.882 billion last year that was actually exported. But it keeps us on pace to hit that right now overall. So we'll be continuing to follow this. When you look at wheat, we're finishing up the marketing year there at the end of this month. So we had cancellations, or actually rolls, of 29.7 million bushels. Much of that rolling to the next marketing year that'll start on June 1st. And we'll give you an update on that going forward and where we're at there. We're basically low for the old marketing year, getting close, maybe a little bit above. I got my marketing year target about 5 million bushels above where USDA's at 910 overall. So export sales for corn remain strong. Soybeans remain adequate, unimpressive, but we have a strong biofuel program that has soy oil prices at new new contract highs. Demand for soy oil is strong for the biofuel program overall. And if, in fact, we do see military action here, because Iran possibly rejects this and President Trump decides soon, energy prices rebound sharply again, that could also provide some tailwinds for the soy oil market as end users want to grab supplies. We're seeing good demand for biofuels during this time of shortage of fossil fuels. That's going to continue for a while, but also we have some strong mandates out there now as well.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.